Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Black AF One Pod. It's me, your favorite person, Raina, and my international jet setter co-host.
It's Roy. What's up, guys? What's up, guys? Woo! How are y'all doing? Yes. No. Yes, as we've all known, well, and I'm sure some of you guys have seen, I have been in Spain, flew out for my sister's birthday. We usually try and do a trip every year just for her birthday. And this year it happened to be Spain. And we kind of worked it out where we'd be in Barcelona, Madrid, Granada, maybe a few other places. And before the trip happened, I was looking and I was like, wait a minute. I know Formula One's going to be in Spain. Wouldn't it be nice if there was a GP that weekend? And it worked out. So I managed to make it out to the Spanish GP. And y'all, if you've never been to a Formula One race, I don't care what you have to do. You have to go.
It Ladies, is so exciting. Are we selling our livers or are we getting sugar daddies? Which one, please? Because
whichever is easier.
So sugar daddy.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
You guys can't see this, but I'm smiling so hard. Like I've been so excited for him. Oh, like every single thing he posts, I'm like, oh my god. I'm that kind of friend. Yeah, like if you're happy, no matter how depressed and down in the dredges I am, I will find my happiness. I've been so excited.
Like, yeah, it's just on Instagram.
And he's met up with like some of F1 Twitter friends and they've been sending me pictures and I'm like, I'm having FOMO, but I'm so happy. Like, nah, I'm so happy.
No, it's been great. I mean, again, make it to a Formula One race. It was probably one of my favorite days ever. However, meeting Britt and meeting Cleo was amazing.
I can't believe you remember Cleo. They are both wonderful. I'm actually so jealous. I'm more jealous about that than the Formula One race because it's more likely I go to a Formula One race in the next year than I meet Brie and Cleo. So I'm really jealous about that. Like they seem like
they are just as cool in person as they are on Twitter. Honestly, they're probably cooler. I enjoyed them significantly more in person than on Twitter, and that is nothing but a compliment. Also, yes, I don't know why this whole time I thought Britt was like 5'2", 5'3", 5'4".
No, same. Girl. But anyway, Britt was tall is when we followed each other on Instagram, and I was like, so not just Cleo, you two, you're like this guy. Like I can just imagine the day I meet y'all, I'm gonna be the shortest person ever.
You're going because to be the shortest.
I look
person.
So tall, and then like.
Yeah, no, you're going to be short.
I'm so short.
I can't believe you look tall to me. I thought Britt was short.
I'm
I thought
just
you were tall.
Like slightly taller than Yuki. Like just slightly taller than Yuki. That's what.
The way I've seen you all the time, and I still can't imagine you being short. But yeah, no, Britt is tall. I'm pretty sure Britt is either the same height or taller than me. Cleo's definitely taller than me. But yeah, no, it was a lot of fun. And they brought some friends with them too. So I got to hang out with them and their friends and made new Twitter friends and IRL friends. So no, it was a great time. Barcelona was amazing. Also, FYI, this is like on the complete side, has absolutely nothing to do with Formula One or anything. But if you are into designer things and you live in America, do not buy designer in America. It is literally $500 to almost $1,000 cheaper in Europe. And then you can also defer your taxes, which you still don't have to pay in America, and get everything for like legit almost a stack less. So my sister got like this, like these Fendi shoes and this Fendi bag. And legit $1,000 cheaper.
Fendi bags are great. I went to Fendi with my brother 2 weeks ago. I don't know if I mentioned this to you on the podcast with you.
No.
Maybe I mentioned the outside of the podcast, but I saw this gorgeous bag that I love, and it's those tiny ones that Lizzo likes to carry. And
the ones where you can't fit anything in?
Yes, and it was like in the thousands, like tens of thousands. Yeah. I was like, sorry, for this pencil case. For this pencil case. Oh, no wonder people are doing OnlyFans because
actually,
where got money from? See.
Yeah, no, let me see if
oh
I can
god.
Find
also,
this.
By the way,
it's
Roy,
gorgeous.
I feel like you should travel every weekend because I said this when you were in Canada. But why are the places you stay in always nicer than you in the back of that, in the front of that faux grass that you like to record in when you're home? Roy has this faux grass, you know, like the fake like AstroTurf background.
It's nicer than that.
And it's where he records. And every time I look at him, like, that thing is just so, it looks so scratchy. Like, I could just imagine, like, accidentally brushing my back on it and it's just scratching me. But no.
Yeah, no. So the trip has been great. The race was great. F1 cars are so much bigger, so much bulkier in every way than you can imagine. Like, yeah. Oh, it was great. But yes,
I'm happy for you.
Thank you. It's been a great trip. Generally, I've been enjoying myself. We just got into Madrid last night.
Madrid is gorgeous.
I'm not gonna lie. I think I enjoy Barcelona just a little bit more, but they're very different cities. Very different.
So, the vibe is different.
So you have to go to both, but they're both great. I think, funny enough, when we got into Barcelona, I had thought our hotel reservations for the first 3 days were something, but it hadn't happened. So when we got there, we didn't have a room. And because it was Formula Weekend, like almost everything was booked. So we found a place, definitely had to pay a lot more than expected, but that's fine. But where we ended up finding was actually really, really nice too. And met some great people there, met like this couple from the Netherlands. I know they were Dutch, but they were actually really, really great. And they're saying like a lot of those like orange shirts you see at the races, they're Hollanders. And of course, Holland and Amsterdam, Netherlands are the same thing, but like they're like those obnoxious ones. And he was more for Amsterdam. So no, it was great. Learned a lot. Met a whole bunch of people there.
Dream city to visit.
Yes. And then after that,
Red Light District, baby.
I know you're wild. And then after that, we got a different hotel, which is not too far away. And that's kind of the one with the rooftop that you saw. And that was just
overlooking. Was that your hotel? Oh, Lord. Yeah,
we stayed in that for one night.
Cleo took Roy the most gorgeous photo on this rooftop. And your sister also took, she had such a nice one going off on her Instagram. And I was like,
I'm not gonna lie to you, this family. We have so many more photos that are probably better. Those are just the ones that I'm posting. I try not to post too much. Honestly, normally I like to fly
super under the radar and travel. Okay, so you remind me of my brother. So my brother doesn't like to post when he travels until the day he's leaving, but for very different reasons, because Nigerians have no boundaries. If they know you're not in Nigeria, they'll have a list of things they require you. So you know how my mom was just in Dubai 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
So my sister's coming for a wedding this weekend. And the moment my mom found out, she was like, hey, let me write up a list of things I need. And my dad is like, what more could you need? You were just there. Like, how is this the stuff you don't want? She had to so Allocated and her, my dad have 3 suitcases each. She had to send like 2 other suitcases cargo.
Oh, goodness.
From cargo-wise, because it's cheaper. And I'm just like, how do you still have things that you need?
Yeah, you were just here. No, I mean, we came expecting to do a lot of shopping. So like some of the stuff we brought, we knew it was just stuff we're going to be leaving. And we also were expecting, we were going to check a bag going back. So we did that. I definitely did. I wasn't planning on doing too much shopping, but I definitely did a lot of shopping in Barcelona. So I gotta slow it down.
You have nice style. So like, I'm sure whatever you bought is fine.
Oh yeah, it's been some nice things, but yes. So, moving on, we can get into a little bit of Formula One. There'll definitely be race stuff. I was just about to get excited and get into the great stuff I did, but we'll get there.
No. Oh, you want to talk about that before we move on?
No. Let's get into the race stuff. Yeah, okay. Yeah, we can do it during because it'll be bit between
three words.
It's going to be, does AF count as a word, as two words? Isn't it count as two words?
You can use it as one word.
No, it's two words. Lit AF.
You know lit you can AF. Say ass fuck. Yeah, I can't be episodes explicit anyway. No. The one time I didn't, Apple took down the episode for like 45 minutes to an hour.
Yeah, there you go. You see? No, it's lit AF. In person, you have to do it. Like, Oh my gosh. And so obviously that's, what about you?
I mean the actual race, right? Not your experience at the race, the actual race.
I mean, and it's the actual race is.
Roy's so biased because he was there. He's like, I don't care what you say. I'm not listening to you.
Did you see my seats? Did you see the I posted one video. I quickly got on Insta to post. I mean, Twitter to post one video.
I saw her.
My okay. So real quick before you say your three words. So where I chose it was Grandstand K. So I had the perfect view into turn one, and then when they were kind of coming back down, I could see perfectly. I think it's turn 5, 6, 7, and 8, and so I chose it specifically because I was thinking, hey. Like, it'd be nice to see into the pit box, but, like, I want to see racing. So if we're going to be having any DRS passes or any late braking passes, is the place. Like, this is the place. And I didn't even know that I would have such good views into those other turns. So I would so every single one of those passes in defenses by George, Lewis, Ocon, whoever, like, I saw all of them. And then I even saw them kind of coming back. So, no, lit AF, period, 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 period. What about you? What are your three words?
Shitty Danish roll. Those are my three words.
I'm here. I'm with you on that. I understand.
Those are my three words. Because like even today, like guys, we're recording what, Tuesday night. I don't know when you're gonna get this because Roy's gonna be busy a lot, but we're recording Tuesday night, and I still like I'm happy the way things turned out because obviously people got to see me, and I mean I still knew, I always knew, but people got to see that Lewis is still the shit. But like,
hell yeah.
I'm still in my own personal mind, me, I'm just still thinking what could have been, because as the hours go by you just keep hearing more stuff of like, oh, apparently the engine was having issues from lap 7, not even at the end like we thought. Exactly. Okay, so apparently like obviously nobody was paying attention to Lewis then, so they didn't play it on air. But Lewis's radio, Bono was telling him to lift and coast from lap 7.
Oh my gosh.
And then the water leak. And I think that was just regular stuff. And then the water leak obviously happened at the end.
Yeah.
But apparently both engines were not at like, were struggling from early.
No. Obviously at the race, I didn't have the moment to moment.
Yeah, you didn't
going
have
on.
Yeah, just had the adrenaline.
I just was there. Yeah, and so for me, I have to make a confession, guys. And it's not my fault. There's a mini story, and I'll try and say it super quick. But
you can take it down. You don't know how like a good story. You don't know how to tell them, though,
but I was going to say, first of all, you know I tell stories too.
I like Roy to tell me his stories in advance, and then I tell it for him to people. Because I make it sound more interesting. I'm just saying.
No, so sadly, guys, I'm sorry. And a friend already blamed me for Lewis's start, so I accepted. But I missed the freaking race start. No, I missed the race start. I missed lap 1. I was getting it. Okay, so here's the story. I'm going to get into it. So as beautiful.
I don't know how, but I'm blaming you. It's your fault.
As beautiful and wonderful as Spain is, not pickpocketing, but people stealing things is significantly higher in this country than any other country. Like, they're not necessarily pickpocketing, like coming and brushing and stealing stuff from you. No. I've been to a lot of places. I've been to several places, at least in Europe. And even Canada. Like, if you set something down and it's not in your immediate vicinity, like you cannot keep your eyes on it, it's going to be gone. And so we made it past the whole week. We were fine. So as we're getting to the race, I'd gotten 3 tickets because my dad happened to be there. Another random side story. I'm not going to get into it. Nope. Side story. So my dad happened to be there. He's not here anymore. He went as so.
Your dad was in Barcelona?
Yes.
So you guys did like a whole family thing?
We're supposed to. There's so many stories. We're going to keep it simple. So for race day, right?
So you sound like me telling a story. There's so many side stories.
Okay, yes, there are. Genuine, seriously. So on race day, right, my dad and his students, they were going to Bilbao. So they weren't even there. So since we've gotten 3 tickets, at least get my dad to see qualifying. Another random side story that I'm not going to get into is a good friend of ours who was our realtor who helped us get our condo just so happened to be in Spain as well. And he met up in Barcelona. Story. Exactly. And so we were like, hey, we have an extra ticket. If you want to come to the race with us, why not? So he came with us. So as we're getting to there, I gave my sister the bag, one of our bags we were carrying, and she's like, no, just put it in the trays up top on the train. So I put it up there. I sit down. One stop before we get to the final station, Montmello, apparently somebody stole it and left. We didn't realize this.
The bag.
I stand up to check to see if it's still there. The guy next to us says, oh, the guy literally one station before took it and left. And so my sister is trill. Like, she is too real. Like, so my sister looks at me and she's like, Roy, do you want to get back on the other train and go back there and see if we can find him? And I said, if you're about it, I'm about it. So we leave my friend. He goes up. He goes, gets a drink. Me and my sister literally sprint to catch the next train that's going back because it's just about to leave.
Like the reverse. We catch it.
Yep, we catch it. We go back to the other town. So if you're on my Instagram, like some of those parade videos, that was me sending parade videos while I'm looking for the person who stole our bag. So we're in this like other town beforehand for like half an hour looking for him. We can't find him, whatever. It's like, we eat it. And we weren't tripping. I think we only lost $200. This is race day. So if it wasn't for this, I was down to let it go, but my sister was like, nah, I want to go find him. Because my sister was heated. Oh, she wanted to fight him.
That's me.
So we don't find him, but whatever. It's half hour later. So we make it back as we're going up to the track. I think I'm over there telling them like, I like, because I'd wanted to make it for the driver's parade, but they were dragging ass. So like, I was going to miss that. Fine. I just wanted to make it for race start. And I was like, y'all, like, it's about to, so whatever, they realize everyone goes. So I ditched them. I literally just booking it up this hill. I hear the cars going. I'm like, whatever. So I managed to get up there all the way. And as soon as I get into my seat, I think they're coming around turn for the second lap. And I get into my seat and I look up on the board, expecting Lewis to at least be P6. And he's not even on it. And I'm like, wait, what the hell? And then that's kind of when I start texting a few people and I find out that, oh, something happened. So I'm upset, whatever. But I will have you know, in my section, everyone there was cheering for all the Spanish drivers. They were cheering for Max. They were cheering for George. They were barely cheering for Lewis. Very quiet. So, of course, I was mad obnoxious. Anytime George or Lewis came by, I was loud as
screaming.
Hell.
People Britt was saying people her kept, section wasn't too bad.
No, like Mercedes but they kept, everyone in my section kept looking at me because I was like loud. Every time Lewis came through, I didn't care. They knew. And then I made friends with the couple sitting next to me. They had like Ferrari gear on, but they were just there for the race. So no, it was cool. So yeah. So anyway, sorry. Back to your three-word race. Oh, no, you already said it. Something about Magnussen and the
Shitty
Danes.
Shitty Danish roll. That's what
they yes. said.
You know Danish roll, the little pastry?
Yes.
Anyway, anywho. Getting into, I'm not going to lie. I was so hopped up on adrenaline. I remember like maybe five things that happened. I'm just going to say.
Yes.
Magnussen ruined my predictions because Lewis didn't win that race. And I also predicted Ocon outscoring Alonso. Unfortunately, my brain is shitty and I do not remember the rest of my predictions. I'm sorry, guys.
No, that's
but
all right.
I had like
no.
The other ones were weird ones, but I don't remember them.
Yeah. So if we want to do, let's get into kind of a more proper race review. So do you want to start from the top or do you want to start from the bottom?
I guess we can start from the bottom.
And by bottom, I mean.
Do you mean Williams? Because I'm ready. Or do you mean Aston Martin? Because
I don't even mean in terms of team by team. I mean what is most impressive to what is least impressive.
Okay.
Some of those teams aren't worth. Go for
can
it.
Can I start with Williams?
Yeah. Shoot. Because you clearly are ready for this.
The day has come. The time has come. I don't care if. You only have three wheels. How are you getting bodied by Latifi? How are you getting bodied by Latifi?
Nah. Actually, though.
Albon is a fraud. He's a fraud. Oh, my God. Fraudulent. The moment that was not strategy wise, actually had to raise my mindset. Huh? You can't see me. I have disappeared. I'm not Alexander. Huh? It was not there. Yo. How are you getting bodies by Latifi? There is no excuse. There is no excuse. It's Latifi. It's Latifi. Latifi and Mazepin. You cannot be getting bodied by either of them. That is why I didn't rate Nick last year, because there were some races where Mazepin was ahead. You should be on a 21-0 kind of thing. And not just was he getting bodied. Let me even see them.
The final thing. No, while you look at it.
Final thing was like 12 seconds or something.
Yeah. I don't remember all the end results. No, when I was on the track, while you look up that, when I was on the track, I do remember seeing both Williams next to each other and fighting each other. And I was like, I looked at my sister and I was like, why are they fighting each other? I was surprised that, because obviously we don't rate Latifi. I was wondering why they were so close together. And I was like, does Albon have an issue? But I didn't care enough to really research it. And not a scoreboard, but the tracker, it only went through P10 on the track. And so if they weren't in P10, I had no idea who was where. You're so like, I didn't know
if you ain't in I ain't no shit.
So I didn't know if Latifi was ahead of Albon or Albon was ahead of Latifi.
No.
I was assuming Albon was having an issue with his car, because I was like, there's no reason for him to be that close to Latifi. They said
there was something in his floor, which is fine.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, I'm not saying whatever. But yeah. He finished, I'm pretty sure he finished like 10 seconds. 10 seconds
ahead or behind?
Behind
Latifi. Oh my goodness. Yes,
exactly. You see what I'm talking about?
Yeah, that's a little scary.
Exactly. Anyways, I just wanted to point that out, and I just wanted to be like, yeah. And on average, it was like 6/10 or something. Like,
yeah,
lap times behind. I can't find the actual tweet that had the thingy, but yeah.
No, I mean, again, clearly the Williams weren't strong. Their car just wasn't strong again. But yeah, if I'm being honest with you, it didn't matter where they were. As far just looking at it from a on at the track perspective, like everything was just so exciting watching them come down barely into turn one,
yeah.
Especially when they kind of came through one after the other. So watching them fight was more interesting than even considering where they were placed. Talk to me about Mick Schumacher. How was his race?
Because
I've watched the 30-minute race recap, but I haven't. Okay, really, so
Mick Schumacher was doing pretty well. Like, things mm-hmm. fell in his favor, and he went up to like 8th or something at the beginning of the race.
Yeah.
And even until like 10 laps to go, he was in the points. But then Tsunoda overtook him, and then Vettel overtook him, and then he kind of just trundled back to the back. He drove an okay race, like.
Yeah.
He was all right. Like, the pace was there, but, like, clearly I feel like Magnussen would have done better if he managed
to keep we're not gonna talk about K-Mag until we get to Lewis.
Yeah. No, so I'm just saying, like, talking about him. In contrast, like, if K-Mag was, like, ahead, Mick Schumacher was able to do, then clearly K-Mag would have done better.
Yeah, because he is just objectively the faster driver. He's also the stupider driver, but that's neither here nor there. I'm going to skip over Aston Martin because I just think they were a bit non-existent.
Okay, no. Can we talk about the, since we didn't do news at the up top, because the main news was obviously them showing up with Red Bull Part 2. Yeah, so yeah, Aston Martin basically turned up with a car that's exactly the same as the Red Bull. And obviously we all know, like, 4 months is not enough time to, like, copy someone's car and build it. But so they probably had a similar concept already and didn't do it. But, like, with how identical it was, I think they did end up copying certain things. I think they had a similar concept. And then when they saw it work for Red Bull, they were like, okay. And then they got to working on getting the finer details.
Honestly, I feel that when it comes to copying or drawing inspiration from another team, that
that's
just
a nice way of saying it.
that is That's what we call it in the art and design world. When you blatantly copy someone, you drew great inspiration from. No, I feel like that's just going to happen naturally. I'm more curious in, did it have a difference in terms of their pace?
Well, it looked like it did on Friday, but then Saturday came about and they very much disappeared. But my theory is this. It's not that Aston Martin. Where's your
face? Oh, my God. Oh, you can't see me? Sorry.
No, I'm here. Because you keep going to Twitter to trash it. Okay.
No.
It's not that Aston Martin did not. Can you see the in 10 minutes thing?
Yeah. We'll figure it. Keep going.
It's not that Aston Martin did not build a good race car. That's not it. Aston Martin just have Vettel and Stroll as the drivers. So like,
I knew that's what you were gonna say.
How can they know whether the car is working or not? Because even when they had that pink Mercedes, it was Perez who was getting shit out of the car. Stroll had like three good races out of 17.
Yeah, that's true.
So I don't think you can rely on Vettel and Stroll to let you know whether your car design is working or not.
That's true. I was thinking, for me, I was thinking, your aero is one thing, but it also has to work with the engine design of the vehicle, right? So them copying the aero and floor of Red Bull may not necessarily transfer if a lot of the internals, because Red Bull is Honda.
Say, not even just the engine, like everything else that's going on in the car that you cannot see. That's what I was,
Yeah, so ultimately, because where you're, all of that, like it's just going to change so much. So people, I mean, again, people getting mad about that copying, if people were getting mad, because again,
it's just funny because there's no like maybe it would have been maybe if like they had like shot up and like they were like top 10, but both of them were outside the point.
Like pink Mercedes, if it was pink Mercedes era, we could have conversation, but it's not.
Even pink Mercedes just seemed more impressive because like the gap from Mercedes and Red Bull to everybody else was just so huge that there was a huge slot, and they still ended up coming fourth in the constructors behind McLaren. So like they
exactly.
Yeah.
Yuki did well. Gasly obviously had contact with Stroll, I believe.
Okay, so I missed that in the race for some reason. And I only saw that on Twitter yesterday, I think, at night, or maybe today. Yeah. I only saw it later on anyways. I didn't see it in the beginning.
I haven't had time to watch the full race, so I didn't see the full context. I just I rewatched last night because I knew we were going to be. I wanted to record today. Yeah, I did the, you know, they do the extended kind of highlights where they do the one for the 30 minute, the race in 30, which they cut out in that race for 30. They cut out Lewis kind of coming back, which I was hoping to catch. Yeah, I was hoping to catch just because. At the track, since that board only had 10 places.
You missed the beginning.
I missed all of it. Beginning. And then all of a sudden, Lewis was in the points. Hmm. And he made it. All of a sudden, I saw Lewis in P8, P7. I'm like, wait, what? And as soon as I saw that, I texted somebody.
You didn't miss much at the back end. Like, he overtook a couple people. And then the middle four people from, like, I think 12th to 8th. They all pits, and then he got to eight.
Okay, so because I was so I saw that.
It was a combination. He at first overtook like a couple people. I think maybe three people, two people maybe. He didn't overtake a lot, to be honest, at the beginning.
Okay, fair enough.
Everybody pit, and then he was in the points. But then obviously after he pit, he then had to like overtake, and that's when he did his overtaking. So I don't think he missed a shit ton.
Yeah, sounds good. We'll come back to them. So here, Ocon and Alonso, Alpine. Before you laugh at how great it is that Esty Bestie continues his perfect record of beating some people's greatest of all time, I will say this. Alonso did have some excellent overtakes and maneuvers coming into.
Sorry, that you're breaking up. Turn one. I can't tell you. You're breaking up. I cannot hear you. Sorry. What did you say? Esty Bestie on the move. Is that what you were saying? Esty Bestie on the move.
They did get
both. You know Alonso is getting spanked up by Esteban because he has come out and said that if he would get a seat alongside at a top team, alongside even if there's already an established number one driver, he would take the seat. That's how you know he knows Alpine's gonna kick him out. That's how you know. Esty Bestie doing one.
Yeah. He's doing his thing.
Esty Bestie, so he in does the spirit well in of his mentor, is breaking the spirit of certain people at their home races. Pummeling them. Pummeling. You know what they call pummeling, Roy? Pummeling. Certain people's goals, two-time world champion, doubled their points tally of the season last race. From two to a grand total. A grand total of four. My North African brother, my lanky legend, my French croissant, Esteban Ocon is on 30 points. A whole ass 26 points ahead. In your home race, in front of your racist followers, you are getting slapped up by someone who, if the wind should blow him, he'll fly away. That's how lanky this man is. And you're getting embarrassed. How you not embarrassed? It is a shame. You know when they were in Game of Thrones? When Cersei's going, they did shame, shame. That's how you and your supporters should feel. Not you're Game of Thrones wasting reference. Your time opening and supporting everybody that is next to Lewis because your spirit is still broken from the year 2007. Do you know how many things that have happened since 2007? Do you know? I started high school, finished high school. 2007 is actually the year I went to secondary school. That's all that has happened, though. My brother was like, 2 years old. This man is finishing high school this year and going to university. Shame! You bastards talk there, obsessing over Lewis. Meanwhile, Lewis, at the age of 37, is bodying mans. And y'all cannot even deal with Esty Bestie. Esty Bestie is showing you pepe. And he will continue to show you pepe until you retire. Go on, sleep. Anyways, yeah. Roy, were you saying something? Somebody having good mood?
Yes, no. I'm going to say the people I cheered for the loudest were definitely Lewis and Ocon. Lewis, George, and Ocon. Every time he came through. I did cheer, I think, once or twice for Alonso because the moves he made were amazing. But obviously, we are here only and only to see Ocon continue to beat that.
I will soon use Alonso. My voice the way I weekly be shouting Esty Bestie on this episode, this podcast.
I'm waiting for when Alonso finally gets so annoyed by being beaten by Ocon every weekend that his real colors come out and he starts to shade him and he starts to talk about how he's actually the best and it's only because of X, Y, and Z that Ocon is actually ahead. Because it's going to happen. There's no way it's not. Alonso is very obviously not ready to leave Formula One.
Why?
And he very much... Why? And because he
looks... Is he a masochist?
Lewis got seven.
So when Lewis leaves, he'll leave. Like,
no, when Lewis leaves,
I'm willing to sacrifice Lewis if that's how we're gonna get this man to leave.
When Lewis leaves, he will be happy Lewis can't win more, but he will be upset that Lewis still managed. Because again, in Alonso's mind, he is equal, if not better than Lewis. And so he's upset because Alonso knows they're better than most, that there are years where Lewis's car was not great. And so, and he understands he had a time in Ferrari where he should have minimum won his third. And in his mind, he's just upset. He's going to think, oh, Lewis is a good driver, but he also got lucky. He went here, which is why he said the whole better driver, better car thing. But this is something he's going to take to the grave. And I'm happy. He deserves it. On to our next driver pairing. we have Lando Norris, who, as we learned, had tonsillitis. And while I do not like this man at all, he looked rough. And I mean rough after that race. So I know he definitely physically went through it. And then obviously his teammate, Daniel Ricciardo. And again, I'm going to do my best to not slander Daniel Ricciardo, although I know Reyna will not be able to help herself. But
I stood up to make a drink to get ice. To get ice. And I literally wish I had risen Daniel Ricciardo. I literally ran back. You know what? I'm going to let you take it first. I'm going to let you go first.
Yes.
I'm going to be nice today, actually. I feel like I've expended my energy on Alonso and Albon. And I'm like...
Fair enough. No, so... Again, genuine, I am actually concerned for this man's career. I do not know. It's one thing to have trouble learning and adjusting to a car. But when your teammate is physically ill to the point where after the race ends, he looks like he's been through the ringer. He looks like he was in Singapore, or he looked like how Lewis looked last year after Hungary, where he was almost fainting on the podium. In his post-race interviews. And I didn't watch all the post-race interviews. I just kind of saw a still of it. But I don't know what Daniel Ricciardo is doing. I don't know if he's just lost all confidence in his own abilities, which very often, yes, I've been a coach for track and field in the past. He ran into making new jokes about me saying I'm an athlete, I'm a coach, this and that and the other. She's laughing in silence. But genuinely, when athletes lose confidence in their abilities, like, it's almost like they're playing against themselves. And so I don't know. It could be that he's lost his talent, or he just doesn't believe in himself anymore, which is why he just can't do it. But I don't know what his racing seat is on the line, period. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. That's just the truth of the matter. And I don't know if he has a real future in F1 anymore. It's one of those things where, like, we have a long season, so he can still kind of get his act together, but he could be in a similar place that Valtteri was in last year, where after some point in the season, to be honest, not even after some point, we just knew that the seat was going to someone else, and it didn't matter how good Valtteri was going to race for the rest of the season. And Daniel Ricciardo is getting dangerously close to that, to where he will either have to not only beat Lando, but do it every weekend in and weekend out for a majority of the season. Yes. And he did a good job in trying to excuse it when he says, look at these other teams where they have one driver who's clearly better than the other. But the different dynamic is that better driver is usually either a world champion or is the seasoned driver. And in this case, Lando is the younger driver, and the driver who's also never had a world champion as a teammate. So it's confusing.
Yeah, it's not even... I'll
always finish. No, go, please.
Yeah, it's not even had a race win. When they say race win, Lando Norris runs in the opposite direction, and yet still, your teammate is a lanky-ass prepubescent man who drinks milk instead of alcohol that is on death's door. Like, Angel of Death is knocking on his door. He is struggling. His already white ass self is pale as fuck. Ah, motherfucker, you are still getting slapped up. Really?
Not just like, slapped up.
To this point, I have been making excuses for you, but I am done making excuses for you, Daniel Ricciardo. Okay, I've never made an excuse for this man.
Yeah, people I was going to say.
People last year who were talking about like, oh, you know, people last year were talking about you know, adjustment period. Okay. Yeah. You people made the car at the same time.
I was one of them.
In fact, was Norris not sick in preseason testing? And Daniel Ricciardo had way more days. Or was it the other way around? Daniel Ricciardo was sick. Okay, no.
Sadly, I remember
Daniel Ricciardo was sick during preseason testing. And Norris had more days. And I remember saying Daniel Ricciardo was going to use this as an excuse when he fucked up in the season. I remember. So is that the reason? Because you people met this car at the same time. You people have been bonding with this car at the same time. Where is your... Honestly, like some girl today tweeted how like, oh, there was... Okay, so basically what Zach Brown said was that... Let me see it. Zach Brown said something about... like there's it gets to a certain point where like he can't like make excuses for Lando anymore. Okay, that he's doing Ricardo. What he can to help Ricardo improve his performance, but sooner or later something has to change as Ricardo is not meeting expectations.
And Zach Brown tends to be a really like a nice he's super in terms nice. Of like, the way he
McLaren
presents
team
himself.
Bosses are nice. Both Zach Brown and Andrea Seidel, they are so nice. And then some girl was like, imagine instead of telling you privately that your work performance has been disappointing, your boss tells the whole office, like, this blah, 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 blah. And I quoted, I was like, sis, everybody knows Daniel Ricciardo is doing his best to show all of us that he's past his prime. And he has started building his retirement house in Texas. And we're the only ones that don't want to believe it. It is only his fans that are here trying to make excuses for this man. He has told us, he has lauded it from everywhere. He has screamed it from the rooftop. He just wants to wear a cowboy hat and drink beer. But no, we want to make him a racing driver. He does, is it by force? There's so many people who want that seat. Like, literally kick this guy to the curb. Like, they've announced their Formula E team. They should take him there. After all, that's where Antonio Giovinazzi went for his retirement and others. They should take him there as well. Like, it is not, this nonsense is not necessary. Like, at getting to the point where I'm actually annoyed, like, there's no need. I'm annoyed. Like,
oh, yeah, man. No,
it's embarrassing. Like, it's irritating me.
No, for me, again, I just, at this point, there was a time where it was funny because I didn't like him. For me, it gets to the point where, like, I can only laugh at people who I don't like doing badly for so long before I feel bad for them, because I am who I am. And so I genuinely feel bad for him because it is embarrassing. Like, for him, he has a bad race. We know what's going to happen. Then he has to go through post-race interviews. And it's not, he's not just talking to Sky. He's talking to F1. He's talking to this local, that local media. Then he has to go home. He has social media. He has this and that and the other. Like, he has to deal with his friends, like, and then he has to go to the office. He has to see his teammates. He has to see his bosses. Like, there's so many, like, levels in which his inability to deliver even a little bit, right? It's not even that, like, it's not just that he's not meeting the potential that the team expected of him. He's not even meeting just a solid baseline. For Lando Norris, sick to get P8, and him reasonably healthy, because we haven't heard anything otherwise, right? Like, to only get P12 genuinely is inexcusable. It just doesn't track. He's underperforming so lowly that, like, honestly, he's approaching Latifi levels of underperformance, if we're being clear here. Like, the only difference is, like, he has had the talent, and so there's just certain things that he can't or wouldn't do. But, like, if Daniel Ricciardo right now was in a Williams with Latifi being on it, I don't know what the outcome would be. And I'm not saying Latifi's going to beat him, but now we suddenly have two drivers who are going at it weekend to weekend out. And that's not who Daniel Ricciardo was. And that's definitely not who Daniel Ricciardo should be. That's what I'm saying.
He's not my favorite person, but like quit while it's like the situation with Seb. Like, okay, you scammed your way to 4 world championships, but at this point, like, nobody's even believing the talent you used to have. Like, and people talk about how, like, Alonso was the better driver, blah, blah, when Alonso bottled championships in that Ferrari. Like, people are questioning your whole past and everything. Like,
So I genuinely, at this point, I no longer revel in Daniel Ricciardo. Honestly, when he passes, when I see him, I don't think twice. I just feel bad for him, because there was, me personally, when he was at Renault, I actually thought it was hopeful, because his first year, he didn't do well. His second year, I think he was teammates with Ocon. He handedly beat Ocon, and he also got 2 podiums. And he really did show that maybe it takes me a year to...
No, his first year, he was teammates with Hülkenberg.
And then the second year, he was with Ocon, right? I believe? Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure. But he did beat Ocon. And on top of that, he managed to get 2 podiums, right? He put the Renault, which for a long time was on the downwards trend and they made a slight upturn, right? So I was like, okay, maybe he needs 1 year to, maybe he is just one of those guys, right? And so last year when Lando beat him or was handling him, I was like, look, there's no, I'm not excusing it, but at least when we, honestly, when he was at Renault, I had something to at least try and like path him. And so I was expecting him this year. He just hasn't looked as strong. And even for me, I thought Monza last year was luck. Like he was playying it up too much, but I was fine because Lando did have more pace. But
Norris this year, I was could have won expecting that race, a race. Obviously, they yes. told them not to compete.
Yes. Understandable. As the, from a team's perspective, I understood why they did it. But ultimately, this year should have been a fight between those two drivers. This year, we should have been able to be like, who do we actually think is a better driver? Does Daniel Ricciardo still have it? Or is Lando now growing into his own finally? But we can't have that. We can't. I don't rate Lando, so I can't accurately gauge just how good the McLaren is or even how good Lando is, because Daniel Ricciardo is very obviously there just being a seat warmer. Currently, that is what Daniel Ricciardo is. So anyway, I feel bad for the man. Sadly, as far as it goes, he's not showing that he deserves that seat. Maybe we still have a long season. It's what been 5-6 races now. So we still have...
We still have time, yeah. But for me, like, honestly, yeah. earlier...
17 races, in last there's so
season,
much.
I actually, like, I made excuses for him. Like, for the first, like, I think up until Monaco last season was when I was like, I discern this man. The overconfidence, the cockiness, you know, he pulled up with his helmet. Let me see the helmet yeah. he comes with this year. He was like, I run these streets. I say, oh, shit, daddy, big boy. I run these streets. Bad guy. I was feeling the cocky. I said, okay. He have injected the adrenaline. He's ready. He's ready.
Yeah.
Ready to put Anna. Danny Rick, come and show us. Bros, if you cannot back it up, why did you say it? If you cannot back it, that's the thing about these kind of things. Yeah, if you cannot back it up, just keep quiet. Because you know there'll be those people that will say something like, oh, if I was in the same car as Hamilton, me too, I'll beat him. Shut up! Just wait till you're in the same car. Wait till he's one of those people, by the way, Daniel Ricciardo. He can't be wrong. You know, bro, he should have been born American because he has that cock. He's giving what that baby's name. That babe's name that was there, she has not run a competitive race. And she's running her mouth about how she's the greatest runner ever. And then she got caught smoking weed because her mother died.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, then go and sleep. Don't try to go to the Olympics. Like, sis, I do not feel an ounce of pity for you. You know the rules. You didn't follow the rules. Go home. And then when she finally came and was running competitive, you couldn't even see on the camera. You know 100 meters how all the runners finish in one frame? One frame of the TV, she was not even there. I said, good sis, this is why you shut your mouth and you let your results speak. That's Daniel Ricciardo. Monaco last year, I gave up on this man. Said, run these streets. Which streets are you running? Even the streets of Ojoa Legba, you're not running them. You're not running them. These Monaco streets, you're only running them as a pedestrian. Literally, it's the one-year anniversary of that man disappointing me and just me moving on from his bullshit and tomfoolery. So,
yeah. So, I mean, genuinely, I'm hoping he, even if he doesn't go back to where he could have been, I'm hoping he gets to a point where he's not embarrassing himself.
But
I feel like, I feel like we've taken a number two on this man for long enough. We can move on. Good job, Lando Norris, by the way.
Lando Norris.
Good job.
Get well soon, by the way. I need you to be well so I can insult you. They like unhealthy opponents in battle.
Yes.
Actually, before we move on, we've moved on from Daniel Ricciardo, but before we move on to the next person, just in regards to like Esteban and Alpine, obviously, like I got the median thing I was looking for, and consistently, like race pace, the median, Alonso was 3.5 tenths slower than.
Yeah, oh, wait, Alonso was slower?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I love it when he's actually slower on pace. Yeah, so like
already before yesterday, someone had sent me a thing that showed this and was like, if you haven't done the episode, here's the data. Because they know ST Best is not right. They're like, here's the data. I was like, okay, I got this. So like, even though like, that's what I'm saying. Even though like, obviously he had overtakes and everything, his pace was still slower than that of Esteban.
Yeah. No, I mean, for all the great overtakes he had, it didn't matter because he was just overtaking randoms.
And like that overtake on Vettel was as shitty as Vettel's overtake on Bottas a couple years ago. Literally, there was nothing impressive to it. The tire delta is like 40 laps.
It's just cool. Genuinely, from the cheers you hear, it's just because you're getting to see action in person, and it really is.
And
cool.
Let me even shock you with something else. In this median race pace thing, the closest two teammates were Seb and Stroll.
Oh.
With like 0.003 of like a second. Stroll was
interesting.
So obviously
that's actually pretty impressive for teammates. I mean, in terms
and
of
and then the next deltas. guess who the next closest was.
Is it gonna be it's not gonna be Red Bull, is it? Huh.
Perez was only a 10 slower than Max.
Oh yeah. Perez shouldn't have given that place up.
I said Perez. Okay, can we move to Red Bull now? Like maybe.
No. Yes, we're going to go there. I just wanted to quickly say, no, I wasn't even going to talk about Bottas much. I was just going to say Bottas continues to be a low-key, strong driver. He is, I don't know if the Alpha is the fourth fastest car, but
I think it is.
But he has solidified that if Mercedes or Red Bull or Ferrari have a bad race, I'm going to be top six now. Like he's been able to consistently be in sixth or higher. So shout out to him. I mean, he still has his mess ups here and there. I think he locked up when I think Sainz is passing him. So he continues to be Bottas. Bottas will be Bottas. But when it comes to speed and when it comes to pace, he will put his car where he needs it to be. So shout out to him. Anyway, let's move on to the top three. I'll let you lead this one off, but I think you wanted to quickly talk about Red Bull.
What I want to say is, yeah, Perez, when you go home at night, what do you tell your wife and your children? With how weak your wife you are, is your wife still even wanting to sleep with you anymore? Because what's cut of nonsense is, and then at the end, no. At the end, this man has the, like, is she even fucking you anymore? Like, are you, like, what? Like, she's
don't,
just like, yeah,
listen,
no, nigga. You weak.
Don't underestimate the Mexican machismo, okay?
No, there's no machismo. How can you? Okay, I know what Mexican machismo is. How can you machismo when you're a weak-ass little bitch on the track? There's no machismo. You tell your wife, I'm the man of this house. Your wife is like, yeah? Or is Max the man of this house?
Oh, wow. Out of pocket.
I said me, yeah. I'm that kind of woman. If your mouth's not, if you come and you just say, baby, I'm the man. What do you cook for me? Go cook for yourself or go and get Max to cook for you. Like, Marcus, no, you can't even charge shit to me no more. Like, oh, baby. Like, no wonder this man is trying, he believes he's stripping women of their rights because that's the only way he can control you. Because any other way, he doesn't know. Because it's not for me that he even obeyed Timo Dazzo. Is that if you see, like, I've already sent the transcript on the group chat, yeah? He was talking and they were ignoring him. He was like, yeah, let me see if I can find it. You have to put out this dead silence or very sensitive.
It's good. You might have to figure this one out.
Very sensitive today. It was just today earlier. Fuck. But yeah.
But while you're looking for that.
Okay, look at it. I found it. It wasn't even that long. Okay. Get Max out of the way so I can overtake quickly. Copy Checo. So build the temperature margin. And they just ignored him. Oh, let's wait at 2 seconds for now, blah, blah, blah. And then he was like, why don't you let me buy? I have very fresh tires. Build the margin,
Checo. This is when he was behind
we'll get our
Max?
Chance. Yes. Because wow. Max was stuck behind George for laps. And like Checo had just changed. Exactly. You were seeing it. And Checo had just gotten like super like quick tires. So Checo would have gotten past, would have been able to get past George because the tire delta was
easy.
Really high.
Yeah.
And then he was like, we will compromise our race. We will compromise our race. They just ignored him. They said, we've got Leclerc slow in turn 11. Leclerc slow ahead. Then he spoke again. He said, how's the race looking? I need more information. They were just ignoring him. And then when Max now finally came, okay, they're now finally, like, I guess on the same strategy, like, because the strategies kind of converge at the end.
Yeah.
And at this point, it's just the two of them. Allow them to race each other.
Yeah.
Like, no, we allow Max to pass. And the thing is, Max wouldn't have gone past him. Faster. Because if Max couldn't have gone past George, Max wouldn't have gone past him. And it's the way at the end, he now had me, this is what pissed me off. All this did not even vex me. That's the job you have signed up for, yeah? It's at the end where this man is now like, we need to talk, guys. Good for the team, but I'm not happy. Is this not the job you signed up for? It's like signing up, they pay you to be an assassin, and then you're like, I'm upset you made me kill somebody. Why are you upset? This is the job you signed up. The audacity for him to be like, hey, I say, if you have the balls, they say, let Max move. He say, I ain't going nowhere. If you like, sack me. It is race 6. If they say, let Max move, he say, we should come and try his what? I need you to show check your behavior. Not after the race, you're like, I'm not happy. What's your happiness going to bring up?
Okay, so what do you think would have happened if they had actually let him go by Max earlier and he had been able to pass George
pretty easily, then their strategy would never have converged, because when he eventually pit, he would have stayed ahead of Max by like a distance.
So you're confident? Let me not say you.
I'm not confident. I don't know.
Are you thinking he could have converted into a race win? Do you think he could have?
He could have, yes. Yeah. He could have. Like, I'm not saying like it's a certainty. But you try your best.
Because what the strategy that we ended up seeing, it was geared for Max to win. That obviously. Exactly. So now a follow up question to this. So moving forward, do you think we will get to the point where Checo disobeys team orders?
I don't think so.
No, because again, this is the first time we've seen Checo. The previous race, I believe that was the first time we'd seen Checo at least heard it over the broadcast, right? I'm not sure if it's happened in the past, right? But that was the first time we'd heard in the broadcast where Checo was angry at the team for not being able to see what he was clearly.
But it's happening. Not the first this time is, he's ignored them. They've ignored him when he's speaking.
But it's not that. This is the first time, at least again, we've heard or seen that he's mouthed back to them saying, hey, I'll do this, but I want you to know I don't like it, right? Because again, this is on the team radio. Mm-hmm. That's something he can save to say to the team after. So whether or not he's thinking everyone's going to hear this, or he's just so frustrated in the moment that he's like, he says it not because he wants everyone to hear, but he's like, I'm just pissed off, and it just kind of comes out. So could we be looking at a Checo whose patience is now finally wearing thin? Because last year, of course, normally Checo does not have the pace for Max to take it to Max Verstappen. Fine. But at least last year, he knew very well he was lucky to have the seat and he needed to, right? And for the most part, everyone, minus me and maybe you, don't rate him.
Qualifying well in it. Like last year, exactly. Like, by the time he got up, like Max was already like a minute ahead.
But the Checo we have now, right, he's managed to pad his stats mark because he's in the faster car and he got more podiums, he got more whatever accolades, right? That if he wanted to move to another team, for example, like if McLaren next year needed a driver who was good immediately and they wanted to confirm that it was good and they were dropping Daniel Ricciardo and Checo wanted out and they were ready, I'm confident I could see McLaren, man, you know what? In the short term, Checo could make an argument to move to other teams, right? And so,
of course,
before but Checo was,
he has renewed his contract. That's exactly what he has. But that's what I'm saying, though. Like, you're signing up for this, like, and I understand where you're coming from, by the way. And
yeah,
he can do that. But are you saying, do I think he will?
Not leave, but do you have confidence that Checo will? Could possibly disobey team orders, or do you think if they tell him to move, he's going to move?
He's going to move.
Fair enough.
He's going to move.
I'm thinking that give it. If we have one or two more calls like this, Checo isn't going to have it. He's going to do a Valtteri. He's going to do a
But even Valtteri did not do it. He did not do it like that. He did not do it like that. He did it very like, okay, I'm not like him back. I need somebody who's going to be like, even last year, for me, like as a Lewis fan, obviously, I wouldn't have insulted Valtteri. But I would have written the cojones. You guys laid down the law. If not, that's how they'll start treating you like a fool.
That's what they do to Ricardo's
first season with Red Bull in 2014. I think like race two or race three, they told Seb to let Ricardo buy it. He was like, no.
Seb said, hell no.
You cannot let yourself like, because once they start taking.
But I mean, it's also Seb, and that's always Seb. Seb has never been one to give anything.
Taking advantage of you, that's it. That's it. And like, this is honestly,
especially on a team as unfair as Red Bull.
Race six. And Leclerc is out of the race. It's not like you're really fighting for like race six. Oh, no.
When I saw it, I immediately thought of when I was hearing about it, because obviously I didn't see it at all. For me, one lap, one car was in the other, and then the next time I saw two Red Bull pass by next to each other, I didn't know if something had changed.
Yeah.
But I thought of Lance Barrichello and the crowd booed. And that was where kind of I had thoughts of like, oh, wow, like, look, they're doing team order, like, maximize points this early in the season to not have to deal with it later. Like, interesting. But obviously it wasn't as obvious or as intense.
I just think they should have, and I feel like probably like there's a 20% chance Max could have still gotten by. Because at the end of the day, it's like, it's not like Max is a driver that doesn't know how to drive. I think they should have just let him try.
Yeah. Side note. And not side note, still talking about these two, but Max specifically. The fight between Max and George. Mm-hmm. I DM'd this to Cleo because I saw a quick clip of it off of their F1 Insta. And I sent it to Cleo and I said, this right here, why couldn't Max race like this? Because this proves it's not that Max last year didn't know how to race wheel. Didn't want to. Max, yeah. No, I mean... He specifically chose to be an a-hole. He chose to be a dick. He chose to run Lewis off the road. And then when anybody complained, he chose to be a petulant child who can only see his way and blame the other person. This very clearly shows that anything and everything that happened last year was not just Max's fault. It was very intentionally Max's
Gmail
fault.
Or at Yahoo?
Gmail.
Okay.
Yeah, so it very clearly shows that and only makes me dislike Max more because we could have had an amazing season last year with very solid racing. But regardless, moving on, Ferrari. Let's briefly talk about them because there's not too much to talk about. We're going to ignore the spin that Max had.
Are we? Why did he spin in the first place? I beg it.
A gust of wind.
Yeah, okay. A gust of wind. Okay, anyways. Okay, I guess that's all that happened with Max. Like, I don't know, Perez is a bum. Like, I literally tweeted, I was like, in the words of my co-host, Perez is a bum.
He should have kept going. If he believed in himself, he would have kept going.
Anyways, Ferrari.
I mean,
What is up with these home race drivers? You feel bad for Charles?
Feels bad for Charles. Yeah. It wasn't his fault. He didn't shunt it this time.
He's just preparing for Monaco in advance.
No, I'm telling you, he's doing what Lewis is. He's getting his bad juju out now. When he gets to Monaco, he's going to obliterate. I'm putting that down now.
Okay.
If not, I will buy you McDonald's or whatever. But yeah, no. So I feel bad for Charles.
Rewind. You buy me what? McDonald's?
Yeah.
You guys had it here first. By the way, this is the way Roy knows I'm obsessed with McDonald's because that's what I'm always eating anytime we're on the phone. Okay, I'm waiting for my McDonald's.
Okay, yeah, unless he wins. Yeah, so anyway, I feel bad for Charles. I feel less bad for Sainz because, I mean, maybe it was a gust of wind, but if it truly was a gust of wind, that I feel bad for him. But it just, again, it just seems like he's just not on the ball. Like, it could be bad luck, but some of the other things that have been happening to him are him just either losing concentration or what have you. So, I mean, he managed to make it back and kind of get, P4. Yeah, he got P4 because he managed to overtake Lewis again because Mercedes car was having an issue. But again, he was in that place off merit. I mean, again, there's top three cars, so if he was any lower, it would have been a problem. But for Sainz, I don't feel as bad for him yet because I feel like with him, he's throwing away opportunities for whatever reason. With Daniel Ricciardo, it seemed like he really had something isn't clicking. So with him, I feel bad because something's just up with him. But with Sainz, it's like he just needs to figure out what he's doing.
You want to know what I think?
Yeah.
I don't feel bad for nobody. You know I don't like science. You know
I don't. Yeah, I know. Science. I know you don't.
So, like, for me, when I see all these racist people failing and I see them suffering and people who say the N-word, I just laugh because... You know, my God, I serve a one true living God, and all of your times are coming one by one, one by one.
Exactly. So let's move on to the masterclass that was Mercedes this weekend.
Mercedes AMG Formula One team really said she is not going to slander us this week. They really said she is not going to slander us this week. And you know what? They don't know me because I still find a way to slander them. But let's go for it,
right?
Go ahead.
Okay. So, obviously, I missed the start, so I missed turn one and kind of all of the drama that happened with Lewis. But after that, since I was at the race, I refused to let anything get me down. And so I was like, I'm gonna at least enjoy this, and George is in a good place. And unlike the fake George and Mercedes fans who are really George fans to be anti-Lewis, I like Mercedes, and so I will cheer for him because they're friendly until they become unfriendly. So it was phenomenal watching George put up those defenses to Max. You guys cannot, and I lost my voice a little bit that day because of how much I was shouting and screaming at the track. And When Max went in on the inside on George, my whole section erupted. And the moment George, because we could still see George passing back onto coming out of turn one. And then we had a large screen to the right, which is showing some of the feed from the F1 broadcast. And we looked over there and we saw George had managed to kind of keep the position. I stood back up and I screaming, and so many people look back up to me, and I'll just say, go George, let's go Mercedes, cursing up a storm. It was excellent. People were pissed, and like I said, I made friends with the couple next to me, so they were just laughing because they knew I was about to go wild. Every last one of those defenses was just pure ecstasy. It was phenomenal to watch. And also, FYI, Lewis being yellow on his car is phenomenal. It's amazing to know when it's him coming through, because I don't need to guess. George did a phenomenal job. Obviously, that day he didn't have quite enough pace to manage to keep it where he could have, and Lewis did that day, and it was amazing watching Lewis kind of come all the way back. I know I said I was just gonna talk about George, but might as well go open then. And missing where Lewis was doing the whole time, just kind of watching him come around. Because a lot of the times when Lewis would come through, he was by himself. And so I just kind of be in the grandstand, just kind of like cheering a little bit. Nothing too crazy, because I'd be a lunatic at that point. But I'd still be cheering, kind of doing a fist pump or whatever. And then when he did the pass on signs, the section actually did do a little bit of a cheer. It was okay, but I was very, very hyped. Because at that point, in my mind, there's, what, five laps left? Like, we got P4 from P19. Like, let's go. And then, obviously, I saw him later. Sainz managed to kind of managed to pass him. And I gave Sainz a good cheer, not super loud, but just because it was his home race. So I'm like, you can't be embarrassing yourself. I know. I know the pain. And in my mind, I thought I could see them kind of leaving pit lane, but not a whole lot, just the last bits. So in my mind, I was like, oh, maybe Lewis had a different tire strategy, and maybe his tires are a little bit more gone. So like, he just didn't have the tires to defend, and so fine, whatever. So I was like, when Sainz did, I'm like, hey, look, Sainz just had maybe newer tires. Come to find out after the race, obviously it was a whole cooling thing with the DNF risk. So that made it even better, because that very clearly said that P4 at minimum was Lewis's. So no, that was great. Mercedes really did something. And then finding out that Lewis won driver of the day, I was shocked, because they definitely don't give Lewis enough love. But no, it was a beautiful day. Spain, as you've been saying, is where you were going to make your decisions on what we are going to be looking like for the rest
not
of the season.
You're putting me on blast.
And so I don't.
Okay.
The first thing you're going to address before you go into your team, this, that, and the other, is what are your thoughts on Mercedes now for the season? Because Spain, you said that 3-4 races ago.
I said that race so, one. I said that race
exactly.
One.
Yes, you did. So let's hear it.
Okay. I don't trust this team. Like, I've lost faith in this team. I do not trust them. If the car has the speed that is shown this weekend, and like, it can improve, because they said they have upgrades coming Monaco and Silverstone, and those upgrades work, I am willing to say that we can win races.
That's a step up.
And I think Silverstone, I will comment on the championship. But I'm definitely willing to say we can win races.
Okay.
And by we, I mean Lewis.
Okay.
I really don't care about that.
Of course. That's the, yeah. The, like, I like George, and I want George to do well, but I want Lewis to win everything.
Debatable.
I'm just being honest with you.
No, I know you do. I know you do. You're a good guy like that. Okay, so I was in a space. Like, I joined a space with our podcast account, Nash's Space, and yeah. On Friday night, I guess, maybe Saturday night.
Yeah.
I think Friday night. And I clearly said, I was like, Nyasha was like, how much back do I think we are? Like, because the space name was like, Mercedes are back, baby. And I was like, 3 out of 10. That's how much back I think we are. I am, after quali and the race, I'm willing to say 4 out of 10. Because for me, mm-hmm. 10 out of 10 back is like, we are laughing everybody up to P4. We are like, that's 10 out of 10 for me. So I think we are 4 out of 10 back. If maybe we won the race, I would maybe say 6 out of 10. And I know the potential was there. And like,
if George had split
right now,
if George
I would
had
shove
split
him up
the
his
Red
mother's
Bulls.
Vagina back into her womb. That's Hello. How pissed off I am.
Yeah, but, I don't like him at all anymore. I didn't even like him much before, but he's dead to me.
And I literally, when it happened, I was like, oh my God, this reminds me of Kevin Magnussen before he left and came back. Because that is the kind of stupidity he used to pull all the time back then.
Did you actually hear what he said on the radio? He said Lewis did that on purpose. Lewis knew what he was doing.
After the race, he posted on his story about how like he got pushed or whatever. And the hospital account was like, yeah, Kevin got barged. I'm like, are y'all bitches blind?
But it's not just that. On the radio, when it happened, when he's in the gravel, he said, Lewis knew what he was doing. I'm saying like, that is Red Bull. Lewis put Max into the wall on purpose level stuff.
Already people are saying, oh, Lewis fans are sending death threats to K-Mag. I'm like, show me the death threat. Show me. Because saying fuck K-Mag is not a death threat. Like you're angry. Like, death threats are the shit Lewis received after Silverstone, okay? If you don't know a death threat, don't call it. But yeah,
No, I think what you're saying is realistic. I think anyone who sees one race and immediately declares a whole season off of it is getting dangerously close to Daniel Ricciardo, Monza, I'm back levels. Like, one race does not show anything. I mean,
now I'm back.
We had McLaren earlier this year basically next to and beating the Mercedes. And then they've gone back to kind of where they were before. So I agree with you. I mean, I do put a little bit more faith in Mercedes in general, just because of their years and in history. But I cannot say I'm confident that we're back. I need to see another race. At least one more race for me to be confident in the pace we have now.
Even if the car is back, obviously it's going to be a tight season with Red Bull and Ferrari. And why I cannot say we're back is I do not trust the other aspects of the team. So even if Mike Elliott fixes the car and brings it, I do not trust the other facets of the team, like the strategy, the pit stops, everything else is just, it's just a hit it, like hit it and you miss, or you either hit the bullseye or you miss the board completely, and it's just, it's scary, but upset. Lewis showed his haters. Like me, I always knew. Me, I did not say anything. My GOAT is the GOAT. I never denied him. And I always said that he's been performing well in like multiple races this season. But now all your haters can see it for yourself. P19 to P4, you know? This reminded me, and yes, I'm saying P4, not P5, because he made it to P4. This reminds me of, I don't know if you know what year. Silverstone, 2019, maybe 2018. He tangled with Vettel on lap one and went back all the way to 20 and still ended up finishing the race P2.
Oh, wow. I need to tell me what race that is. I'd like to watch it again.
Silverstone 2018. Anyways, 2018. I know you're on vacation, so we're going to try and wrap this up quickly, right? Mercedes did great. I give them A+ performance. I'm very impressed with their turnaround, but
yeah,
let's wait for Monaco and see, because Spain is a track that it's easy to bring your upgrades and it works because you've tested on the
and
track.
And Rose struggled at Monaco too.
Exactly. So let's wait for Monaco, and I think France maybe is after Monaco. I'm not sure. Anyways, Roy, your bum of the day. Ma'am.
My bum of the day. Well, that goes squarely to K-Mag for ruining a chance of a race win for Mercedes this year.
I think we should have K-Mag as the group bum of the day. Do you agree with me?
I am with you.
Bum of the day. Okay. As a team.
He is the team bum of the day. Yes, as a team.
The pod bum of the day. And I think swiftly and unequivocally, K-Mag is on Fraud Watch. Yeah? Do we agree on that?
Yes. Easily. Okay. How do you do that and assume it's somebody else's fault?
Okay, I am saying Sainz is still on Fraud Watch. So is Alonso. So is Gasly. So is Ricciardo. So is Latifi.
Yeah.
Those are the current people.
I'm with all of those.
Yeah? You're fine with all of those?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think we need to add anyone else either, too, because.
Yeah, no. I think that's fine.
I don't think anyone else did something else. Start of the day. We forgot that.
No, we haven't. I was going to ask you that next. So we forgot that. No, I had it.
Oh, sorry.
It's just start of the day, right?
I mean, it's kind of hard because
a podcast star of the day.
I feel like there were so many good.
So many? Maybe for you.
That like none really shone so brightly that like I can be like, wow, you. Of course, it's Lewis Hamilton. It's not even a question. It is Lewis Hamilton.
Our black AF1
the way-
star of the day. I was looking at him. I was looking at him, sus.
The way she was looking at me, like, what the hell are you talking
Lewis
about?
Carl Davidson.
David. Larba Lester. Hamilton.
What did you say? Larba Lester?
Larba Lester. Larba Lester. Isn't that how you say it? Did I say it wrong? Larba Lester. Yeah.
I think she's it's French? Like that. I don't know, but I think that's how it
is. It could be French. I thought it was English.
Anyways,
that's Larba Lester.
Son of Anthony. Son of Anthony did not disappoint me.
So thank you so much, guys. We don't have a race next weekend, right?
Where are you running to? We have Monaco's this weekend. Oh. Are you still on vacation?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to record on Malay, so I'm not waiting for you.
Yeah. I can't see. I'm not going to be at the Monaco GP one either, so, like, do your thing, girl.
Okay. Star of the week.
Oh, this is personal, right? Not outside of racing. Star of the week. I'm going to give a star of the week to my friends that I got to meet in Barcelona.
I see you're rubbing it in. You're rubbing it in. Okay.
Leo and Britt.
Okay.
I also met a new, I also met two new friends as well while I was out there. One is from Hockey Twitter, Eliza, and the other is also an F1 picture. Twitter. But the other is from F1 Twitter. Her name is Ari. And she actually, so yeah, so anyway, they're all, everyone I met was super, super duper cool. It was great. So yes, all four get my star of the week because they just made it so much fun. There's honestly, if I went through my week and was to tell you like, they, I could have several stars of the week, but they'd be random people that like I met.
That's fine. That's fine.
Yeah, so many, like 20 side stories. But yes, so those four get my star of the week.
My star of the day is my friend T, just for constantly just being there, sounding bored, emotional bored.
Oh, no.
His friend, F1 friend. Right now, she's basically my everything. Like, I cannot lie, I'm relying on her for so many things. And she's not tired of me yet, so.
Excellent.
Pray with God, and hopefully it doesn't happen anytime soon.
I'm clearly struggling over here in Spain on rooftops.
Fuck off. I hate you. Okay, predictions for Monaco.
Monaco predictions. P1, P2, P3. Charles, P1. Lewis, P2. George, P3.
Okay. Who did you say P1? Charles?
All right. Yep. Yes. Sorry. I said it with my whole chest. You thought I forgot. You thought I was playing when I said it at the start of this. Nope. Charles P1.
Lewis P2.
Lewis George P2. P3.
This year, I'm going to keep predicting signing, Lewis winning until the end of the season, until he actually
signing
wins.
That will signal the return of Mercedes. And then immediately after, I'll even say the next race. After that, Lewis P1, George P2, Max P3.
Okay, I'm going to go Lewis P1. Bottas P2.
Ooh. Bottas is pretty good.
And Perez P3.
Oh, wow. That's a shakeup. I like it. If you win that, if that happens, I'll also get you McDonald's.
That's definitely not happening. What's the other contingency for the McDonald's? I'm going to have to re-listen to the episode.
Oh, sure. Yeah, what was the
episode? I haven't listened to one of my episodes in a minute as well. Because that's you already question. Give me the name suggestions before time, so I don't have to listen to see what to name it. Anyways, Roy, thank you for taking time out of your vacay.
Sorry, it was so long.
Tell us your experience of the Spanish Grand Prix. Grand Prix de España.
It's so much fun.
Ladies.
I didn't even tell you guys about... Wait. I didn't even tell you about running down to the grid. I took a photo on one of the start lines.
This man texted me 15 minutes ago saying, I have things to do. And now I was trying to wrap it up and he joined with the story. Okay, sorry.
No. I do. My sister was glaring at me. I have to go get some things. But I ran down to the grid, met up with Cleo and Britt down there, took like a photo at the starting lines. And one of the thing, I touched on the skid marks. I freaked out. Got a picture and a video of George on the podium receiving his award. I got like a video close up on all of the cars. Stood on the fence right in front of the pit lane. And then one of the cops yelled at me to like get down. That was funny. I got shouted at. Yeah, no, it was lit. It was lit. It was lit. I'm so excited. Anyway, that's all. Sorry.
Anyways. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. I love you guys so much and have a wonderful week, or who knows when Roy will actually edit this and release it. So
yeah, good luck.
Well, I have no hope. When you hear this for the archives, guys, I hope you're from the archives. I hope you're having a good day. Bye, darlings.